Welcome to your GCSE English Literature Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most powerful and technically brilliant poems in the Power and Conflict anthology. Alfred, Lord Tennyson's The Charge of the Light Brigade. Whether you're studying AQA, EdXL, or OCR, this poem is a gift for any student who wants to write about conflict, duty, heroism, and the relationship between those in power and those who serve them. By the end of this episode, you'll know exactly what examiners are looking for, which quotes to use, and how to write about this poem at the very highest level. So let's get started. Grab a pen, because you'll want to take notes. Let's begin with the context, because understanding why Tennyson wrote this poem is absolutely essential to your analysis. In October 1854, during the Crimean War, a catastrophic miscommunication between British military commanders led to approximately 670 cavalry soldiers, the Light Brigade, charging directly into a valley surrounded by Russian artillery. They were armed only with sabers. The result was devastating. Around 110 men were killed and 160 wounded, with many horses lost too. It was quite simply a military blunder of the highest order. Tennyson, who was poet laureate at the time, meaning he was the official poet of the British Crown, wrote the poem within days of reading about the charge in a newspaper. And this context is crucial. As poet laureate, Tennyson had a duty to honor the soldiers, but he was also a thinking man who could see the tragedy of what had happened. So the poem does two things at once. It glorifies the bravery of the soldiers, and it quietly, subtly criticizes the command that sent them to their deaths. Now let's talk about the most important technical feature of this poem, and it's one that examiners absolutely love to see students write about. The dactylic dimeter. Dactylic dimeter is the poem's meter, its rhythm. A dactyl is a stressed syllable followed by two unstressed syllables. Think of the word thundering, thundering. That's a dactyl, and dimeter means there are two of these per line. So the basic rhythm goes dum, da-da, dum-da-da. Listen to the opening. Half a league, half a league, half a league, half a league onward. Can you hear it? That galloping, driving rhythm mimics the sound of horses' hooves charging forward. It's not just a stylistic choice, it's immersive. It pulls the reader into the charge itself. But here's what's really clever, and this is where you can really impress an examiner. Tennyson deliberately disrupts this rhythm at key moments. When he writes, "Someone had blundered," the rhythm breaks. The line doesn't fit the pattern. And that disruption mirrors the chaos and the mistake at the heart of the poem. Examiners award credit for candidates who notice not just what a technique is, but what effect it creates. And here the effect is a sudden jolt, a moment of disorder in an otherwise relentless forward momentum. Now let's look at the themes. The first and most important is duty and obedience. The refrain, and this is a quote you absolutely must know, is, "There is not to reason why, there is but to do and die." This appears in stanza 2 and is one of the most powerful statements in the entire anthology. The soldiers are not asked to question orders. They are not permitted to think. They simply obey, and in obeying, they die. The word but is particularly significant here. It implies limitation, resignation, even a kind of tragic acceptance. The soldiers have no agency. They are instruments of someone else's will. The second major theme is heroism and glorification. Tennyson clearly wants to honor these men. The final stanza asks, "When can their glory fade?" A rhetorical question that implies the answer is never. The soldiers are presented as noble, brave, and worthy of eternal remembrance. The poem ends with a direct address to the reader. "Honor the charge they made. Honor the Light Brigade, noble 600. The use of exclamation marks and the imperative verb honor turns the poem into a command. Tennyson is instructing us across time to remember and respect these men. But the third theme, and this is where the poem becomes truly complex, is the criticism of military leadership. The phrase, "someone had blundered," is extraordinary. It's deliberately vague. Tennyson doesn't name who blundered. He uses the indefinite pronoun, "someone," which both acknowledges the mistake and protects the guilty party. This is Tennyson walking a tightrope. He is poet laureate. He cannot openly attack the military establishment, but he cannot ignore the catastrophic error either. The word blundered is almost comically inadequate for the scale of the disaster. And that inadequacy is itself a form of irony. The semantic field of death is another area examiners love. Tennyson uses valley of death, jaws of death, and mouth of hell, all personifications that transform death into a living, consuming entity. The soldiers ride into the jaws of something monstrous. This imagery elevates the charge from a military event to something almost mythological, like heroes descending into the underworld. Right, let's talk about how to actually write about this poem in the exam and the mistakes that will cost you marks. The number one mistake candidates make is paraphrasing the poem rather than analyzing it. If you write Tennyson describes the soldiers charging into battle, you have told the examiner what happens. That earns you very few marks. What earns marks is writing. Tennyson's use of dactylic dimeter creates a relentless galloping momentum, immersing the reader in the physical experience of the charge. Do you see the difference? One describes, the other analyses. The second common mistake is ignoring the dual perspective. This poem is not simply a celebration of war. It is simultaneously a tribute and a critique. Any response that treats it as purely patriotic or purely anti-war is missing the complexity that examiners are looking for. The best responses will acknowledge this tension and explore how Tennyson manages it. Third mistake, bolting on context. If you write a paragraph about the Crimean War that has nothing to do with your argument, you will not earn marks for AO3. Context must be integrated. It must serve your analysis. For example, Tennyson, writing as poet laureate in the immediate aftermath of the charge, faced the challenge of honoring the soldiers while acknowledging the blunder. And this tension is embodied in the poem's dual voice of glorification and subtle critique. Now, some exam technique. For a 30-mark question, spend 5 minutes planning. Identify your thesis. What is your overall argument about how Tennyson presents this theme? Then select 3 or 4 key moments in the poem and plan what you'll say about each one. Use Peel paragraphs, point, evidence, and that means an embedded quotation, not a block quote, analysis of the language, and link to context or the wider poem. For AO4, the 4 marks for spelling, punctuation, and grammar, use a range of sentence structures, spell literary terms correctly, and vary your vocabulary. Don't write Tennyson uses in every sentence. Use alternatives, Tennyson employs, the poet deploys, this technique creates. Time for the quick-fire quiz. I'll ask a question, pause, then give the answer. Cover your notes and test yourself. Question 1. What is the meter of the charge of the Light Brigade called? Dactylic dimeter. Question 2. Complete the refrain. There's not to reason why. There's but to do and die. Question 3. What role did Tennyson hold when he wrote this poem? Poet. Laureate. Question 4. Name 3 phrases from the semantic field of death in the poem. Valley of death, jaws of death, mouth of hell. Question 5. What does the phrase someone had blundered suggest about Tennyson's attitude to military leadership? It acknowledges the mistake while deliberately avoiding naming the guilty party, suggesting a veiled criticism that Tennyson, as poet laureate, could not make openly. Now let's bring it all together. The Charge of the Light Brigade is a poem of extraordinary technical skill and emotional complexity. Tennyson uses dactylic dimeter to recreate the physical momentum of the charge. He uses the refrain to emphasize the soldier's unquestioning duty. He uses the semantic field of death to elevate the charge to mythological status. And he uses the deliberately vague, "someone had blundered," to critique military leadership without openly condemning it. In the exam, your job is to show that you understand this complexity. Don't just celebrate the poem's patriotism, explore its tension. Don't just identify techniques, analyze their effects, and always, always integrate your context rather than bolting it on. The key quotes to have ready are, half a league, half a league, half a league, half a league onward for rhythm and momentum. There's not to reason why, there's but to do and die for duty and obedience. Someone had blundered for the critique of command. Into the jaws of death, into the mouth of hell, for the semantic field of death. And when can their glory fade? for the poem's tribute to the soldiers. You've got this. Good luck in your exam, and remember, every mark you earn is a mark you've worked for. See you in the next episode.